Today on Truth Is Now Treason, we're going to be introducing you to our friend, Doug Doms. He's got a story you don't want to miss. Welcome, my fellow traders, to yet another award-winning episode of Truth Is Now Treason. Today, we've got Doug Doms with us. We have known Doug for 6-8 years, and Doug's just got an incredible story, and we're happy to have him with us. How are you doing, Doug?
I'm doing great. It's great to be here. Thank you so much.
Excellent to have you. So tell us a little bit about yourself. What are you doing right now?
Well, now I'm a retired pastor.
Okay.
And playing a lot of golf.
So what's your handicap right now?
18. That's why I need to play a lot of golf.
Well, you're an 18. I'm probably a 36. So what golf club do you play a lot at?
I play in the local areas. I play, you know, whoever will ask me to play golf, actually. Well, I play alone a lot, too.
Okay.
And when I play alone, it's usually over at the Country Club of the North.
So when you're playing alone, is your handicap like an 8? And then when you're playing with others, your handicap's an 18?
Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? It's a God thing.
Yeah, it definitely is. Well, Doug, you've got a great story that we've heard before. Mm-hmm. We wanted to share your story with other people. Tell us about your story.
Okay, well, I came to the Lord very late in life. I was what people call a heathen, and I really lived a life that wasn't holy and pleasing to God at all. I was in the throes of alcohol addiction, and my life was out of control. Everybody knew it except for me. You know, it's one of those things that people are looking, hey, Doug, you know, you shouldn't be drinking that much. You shouldn't be doing that. You know, they knew I didn't. And then it was late in life. I was 52, I think, when I first went to church for the very first time. And a woman that worked for me, she said, for years, she said, you need to come to church with me and my family. I said, no, I don't think so. And she would ask me every week, just to shut her up. I said, all right. I put on a suit and I went to church. I was completely overdressed. I had no idea that people wore jeans to church. I never saw that on TV.
So that shows me how long it had been since you'd been to church.
I'd never been to church.
Oh, you'd never been to
church? I'd never been to church. My family, we never went to church. The people that were my friends growing up were mostly Jewish.
Okay.
I'd been to bar mitzvahs and bat mitzvahs and all that, but I'd never been to church outside of a wedding or a funeral.
Okay.
So I go to church and I meet the pastor. This friend of mine introduces him to me and, okay, whatever. And we go and sit down and the praise team was starting. I didn't know it was a praise team. And the words were coming up on the screen on the song. This is pretty cool. This is like karaoke. I can do this. The preacher started to preach, and I'm listening to him, and I thought to myself, man, he's talking about me. So I turned to my friend, and I said, this guy's talking about me. She looked at me. She said, no, he's not. So I listened a little longer. I turned to her again. I said, he's talking about me. She says, get over yourself. He's not talking about you. I came to realize that was the beginning of the Holy Spirit starting to work on me. I started to go to church on Sundays that I wasn't hungover. I started to learn how to pray. A couple of guys took me under their wing and eventually realized that maybe there is a God. And slowly but surely, I came to know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior and gave my life over to Him. And at that point, everything stopped in my life. Everything changed. I started to go to church. I started to go to a recovery program because God took the desire to drink away from me.
That's awesome.
A program called Celebrate Recovery.
That's a wonderful program. We highly endorse that here.
Yes. And what happened was I gave up everything that I was doing to earn a living. I turned my life and will over to the care of God. And then I became the Ohio State representative for Celebrate Recovery inside the prison ministry. And the reason why is I had a DUI and they gave me 10 days in jail when I first became a Christian. So I'm in that jail. I'm the only one in there with a Bible. Never owned a Bible before. And I bought a Bible, but never read it. And so I'm sitting in there. And all of a sudden, I'm doing a Bible study on my cot in this pod. And I know nothing, but I know more than they know. Here's an opportunity. So I went into prison ministry. And I was a state rep for about 3 years and felt that God was calling me into local ministry. And I got what they call the local license. Then I planted a church at a campground that we went to.
I wanted to make sure you mentioned that because the first time we met you, we were introduced to you. I don't know that we actually talked. They were talking about that ministry during that church service. I was like, that is so cool because that's thinking outside the box. But yeah, go on about that.
Well, what happened? We, you know, of course, I'm on fire for the Lord and I just have this local license. And so I go to the owner of the campground. I said, hey, do you have a church that comes up here? He said, no. I said, well, I'll put one up here for you. He said, they don't work. I said, well, you haven't put my church up here yet. So I went back to my lead pastor and I said, okay, this is the plan. We're going to do this. And at the time, we had like 7 retired pastors in our church. So I told the lead pastor, I said, hey, I'll put a lunch together. I'll have it catered and we'll put lunch together for all these pastors. And what we'll do, we'll roll out a plan how they could come up, they can preach, and then they'll be able to go swimming, play tennis, go golfing. We'll cook barbecue. You know, we'll do all that for them. So we put on this luncheon. And not one person signed up. Not one. Not one. I painted a picture that was beautiful. Anybody would go for that deal.
Yeah.
It was just shy of just paying them. You know, I should have done that. Yeah, okay, we'll give you $100. They probably would have jumped on that. But nobody signed up. So I went to the pastor. I said, what are we going to do? He said, you'll have to preach. I said, that's not going to happen. I don't even, you know, I'm barely getting through the Bible as it is. I can't do that. He said, well, we'll pray on it. So I started praying and nothing changed. He encouraged me. So we opened the church up. It was under a gazebo.
Was it at Delaware Lake? Is that where you had it?
Yeah, it's up around the Delaware
area. That's what I
thought. Elm Creek, yeah. The only thing I knew was what I could preach in the prisons from Celebrate Recovery. So for like the first month and a half, it was all recovery stuff. Which was pretty interesting because people were coming to the church with Bloody Marys and beers in there. So, you know, I think I was talking to the right crowd. It was pretty exciting, actually. But then we ended up getting bands to come in. We had our own praise team. We had a great time. And then I ended up preaching. It was wonderful. And the church went up to about a year ago and it closed. But it was Church at the Creek. Yeah.
That is very cool. I love that story. That is so neat.
Yeah. So it was a lot of fun. And then, of course, I went back to college at 59 years old. That was a shocker. And finally became a pastor. And it's been a journey that God knew that I was going to be on when I didn't know it.
Mm-hmm.
He knew it. But what he also knew was all of the experiences that I had in life leading up to the time that I accepted him as my Lord and Savior, he knew I would use those experiences in a ministry.
Yeah, you know what's funny is, so you brought up how you were dealing with alcoholism, and then you're at a campground, and you're speaking to people who are bringing Bloody Marys and beers to the church service. The campground we often go to is in Fort Loramie. They used to have tents you could rent. They quit renting those tents because everybody going into those tents was smoking pot. And so I know the crowd that you get a lot of times at a campground. And you are the perfect person to speak to that group. That is so neat. And you just confirmed it. You know, God used your experiences and made it to where it was something he could use to build his kingdom.
Yeah, if you took a pastor that was raised in the church, he would have a different view of those people sitting there drinking Bloody Marys or beers at 9 o'clock in the morning. But I looked at it as these people, I understand why they're doing that.
Uh-huh.
And I can relate to them. But more importantly, they could relate to me.
Absolutely. That's
huge. And they knew that I wasn't condemning them for their language or for the fact that they drank or smoked or any of that. I wasn't condemning them. I loved them just as Jesus loves us in the midst of our mess.
Absolutely. That's so cool. So I want to ask you about a couple of things you said earlier. So you brought up how when you were at the church, and you were just starting to be introduced to God, You said a couple of guys came alongside you.
Yes.
Tell me about that. How big was that in pointing you to God?
Well, that was huge because I was lost. I didn't know I have this Bible, but do I just start at the beginning? I didn't know there was a new and Old Testament.
Uh-huh.
Coming from the car business, I thought there was a New and Used Testament. I didn't know. It was crazy. I didn't know anything.
Uh-huh.
Kind of finding my way through prayer.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't know how a Christian was supposed to act.
Yeah.
You know, and that's funny to say now, but I didn't know how I was supposed to act. I didn't realize that using the Lord's name in vain was not good.
Uh-huh.
I didn't know that I shouldn't tell dirty jokes. I uh-huh. didn't know all that.
Yeah.
So these guys came along and kind of mentored me. And they would say more often than not, Doug, I don't know if I'd say that again. You know? Why? Well, think about what you just said. And I needed that. I uh-huh. needed to know what it was like to live a life that's holy and pleasing to God. I needed not only God to help me, but I needed men to show me.
And
they did.
That's awesome. You know, the scripture that I think that has affected me most in the last 10 years is during the Last Supper. When Jesus said to his disciples, he said, they're going to know you're my disciples by how much you love each other.
Mm-hmm.
And if there is a thing I wish the church could really, really focus on, it's on showing each other love. I heard a pastor say it this way. Our love should be so contagious that people on the outside are looking in and they're saying, I don't agree with what you believe in, but I can't deny the love you're giving to each other. And what you said about those guys who came alongside you just spoke volumes about that.
It was very important. The church is not perfect. And mm-hmm. I'd be the first one to tell you the church is not perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And the people in the church are not perfect. And there's many people within the church that think they're perfect, and I can tell you, they're not perfect. But we do need corporate worship.
Absolutely.
We do need to be around believers. We mm-hmm. do need to be strengthened by those that believe in the same God we believe in.
Yeah.
It's so vitally important. And if you don't have it, you're missing out on all the things that come with that. The love that can be shown.
Yeah.
The fellowship. When you're hurting, who better to be with than your Lord and Savior and somebody that can listen to you and talk back to you? It's so important.
Now, I want you to expand also, if you would, on Celebrate Recovery, because to me, Celebrate Recovery is like other ministries I've seen where this is the church doing exactly what the church is supposed to be doing, because people don't care what you have to say until they see how much you love them, how much you invest in them. Celebrate Recovery is doing that so well. So tell us a little about Celebrate Recovery and what you were doing in there.
I first started going to AA, and this came after a lot of prayer. I was praying that God would take the desire for alcohol away from me. And when I got that DUI, it was 6 o'clock in the morning, and I was on my way home from somewhere I should not have been. And as soon as those lights came on behind me, I knew my life was going to change.
Uh-huh.
And I started crying.
Mm-hmm.
And as the highway patrolman walked up, he said, sir, why are you crying? I said, my life is going to change.
Uh-huh.
And it was Jesus that changed it. It was Jesus that changed my life, but I knew it.
Uh-huh.
But so I started with AA, and then I thought, oh my, it was Jesus that got me sober. I need to be in a program that Jesus is in.
Uh-huh.
And that was Celebrate Recovery, a faith-based program. And it didn't make any difference what your issue was. They address hurts, habits, and hang-ups.
I love how they do that. It's not just one thing. So if anybody's interested in Celebrate Recovery, it's celebraterecovery.org. Look it up. And like Doug just said, it's not just for alcoholism. Anything that is hurting you, anything that is a habit that's destructive to you, any hang-up that you have, that's what Celebrate Recovery is about.
Absolutely. You know, we think about drugs and alcohol. The number one addiction now is pornography.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure it is. Yeah,
it is huge. And so what recovery is, recovery, regardless of what your hurt, habit, or hang up is, recovery is all the same. First thing to do, you want to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and let Him help you through the steps of recovery and celebrate recovery focuses on that. They don't judge you. They did things like church, and then you would have small groups, and you would get with people that have the same hurt or habit or hang up that you have and discuss it. And it became my life. And then I got involved as a state rep and just found the hurt in prisons, and so much could be done there. And then, of course, we opened up transitional houses. My wife and I, we started buying houses and getting them fixed up and then taking people out of prison, putting them in there and introducing them to Jesus Christ, introducing them to Celebrate Recovery, introducing them to church, and helping them transition out of prison into a life with Jesus Christ, freedom.
That is so cool. I love that story. Do you have anything else you want to share with us, Doug?
I appreciate what you guys do. I really do.
Well,
and I listen to your podcasts, and I really appreciate the fact that you're reaching out. You're doing something. It's okay to be sitting in a living room and complaining, and everybody's on the same page. Oh, yeah, this. Oh, yeah, that. You're doing something. You're getting out there. You're making a difference in people's lives, and I appreciate that very much.
Well, thank you, Doug. You know, it has been just a great joy to have you here with us. If people wanted to reach out to you on Facebook or anything, how would they reach out to you?
You could go to Facebook and just put it Pastor Doug Dahms or...
And how do you spell Dahms?
D-A-H-M-S.
D-A-H-M-S.
D-A-H-M-S, Doug Dahms. You can just reach out to me.
Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you very much.
And thank you. Until next time, my fellow traders.